teaching God's word diligently to your children. And before I begin, three of my kids are going to come and sing. I was supposed to be five, but we've lost a few along the way to naps and such. It's been a busy weekend, so we're just going to do it with the three that are here. First, they're going to quote a passage of scripture for you. Psalm 27.
The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though an host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing have I desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord, and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock, and now shall mine head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice, have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, seek ye my face, my heart said unto thee, thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been mine help. Leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsake me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in a plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord, be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Acts 16:31. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. Psalm 141:3. Set a watch, O Lord, before my mouth, keep the door of my lips. Proverbs 3:13, 15, and 16. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her. Length of days is in her right hand, and in her left hand riches and honor.
Precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are to be compared.
We had another song that my 5 and 7-year-old are going to do. They were going to sing, "This is the day which the Lord hath made." And they would have enjoyed that, but they're worn out. So maybe they'll make it by the end of the session. We'll see. I'd like to start today with a verse in Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7. "And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up." From these verses, we see that teaching God's word to our children is a clear Bible command to parents. A lot of times we think that Sunday school teachers would do a good job of this, or if you're not homeschooling, maybe their school teachers will teach them God's word at a Christian school. But the Bible says here that this is for parents, that we're to teach them unto our children. And it also says that this is something to be done diligently. I looked up the word diligent, and it says pursued with painstaking effort. Now, that sounds to me like it's not just enough to have a Bible time with your kids or a little bit of devotions as a family, which there's nothing wrong with those. Those are things you should do, but that's not enough. Teaching God's word should be a part of your life all day in everything that you do. And part of that verse says that these words shall be in thine heart. And before we can teach them to our kids, we need to have them in our own hearts. And when we have them in our hearts, the result will be that we'll teach it to our children diligently. We'll talk about it when we're sitting down, when we're walking, when we're lying down, and when we get up, which basically is all day, right? Okay, so I'd like to start first by talking about how do we diligently teach God's word to our children. How do we make it a part of our daily life? The first thing that's important to do is to memorize God's word together. Now, my kids just quoted one of the passages to you that we've memorized together, and my 5-year-old knows that passage too. He was going to say it, my 5 and 7-year-old. And so don't think that your kids are too young to be learning passages. When my son, who's just saying, was 4, he started learning passages, and that's kind of when we started passages. I always taught the kids verses here and there, and then he was in a club at church where they were assigned passages right in order, and that gave me the direction I needed, because when I would choose a passage and we'd learn it, I'd hunt and hunt and think, well, which one should we do next? And I'd pick one, and I'd say, oh, I don't like that. So we just kind of wouldn't do them. Well, this gave me a list, and ever since then, we've been enjoying memorizing God's word together. And the key here is doing it together. As a family, we make it fun. Some of the ways that we memorize passages is we say them together, and maybe we do silly motions just to help them remember. A silly thing here, like when we memorize Psalm 1, my son would always laugh about the part, he's like the chaff which the wind driveth away, and we go vroom, vroom. And he thought that was so funny, and he never forgot the chaff which the wind driveth away, just because of that. The verse that they just did, I'm trying to think of the words, the wicked shall fall. Anyway, it ended with falling. My daughter would say, boom, and all the kids would laugh. And the younger ones remember it just by making it fun, by little things like that, using motions. A lot of times I'll do motions to help them till they can do a passage without my help. Sometimes we've done pictures. I don't draw. If I draw, they'll never learn the verse if it's by my pictures. So my daughter a lot of times would draw pictures for it, which would help her learn it, and then it would give the kids just a visual reminder of what came next. So we learn them together by saying them together every day, and we'll just go from the beginning to the end. And each day you'll notice as you do that, that they get better and better. They just start learning more and more. And like I said, even the young ones, we do this at the breakfast table, and my daughter, who's 3, every once in a while will pipe in with a word or two just from hearing us do it. And she's real cute too, because she hears me practicing verses with the kids, and she'll say, I want to do John 14 now. And she likes John 14, 1 through 6, and she can't say half of it, but she stumbles through it and repeats it after me. And that's good, because she's already developing a love for God's word just from being there when we do this with the other kids. She's already learning that. And if you start saying God's word to your kids from the time they're young, they'll be saying it before you know it. So get excited about memorizing it, and then after you've memorized it, develop some kind of a plan to review it. Don't memorize it and then forget it. That's easy to do, but if you're going to put the work into memorizing it, set up some kind of a system where you can review it, whether it's doing one review passage a week as you're working on a new one, or it depends on how many you've done. We got to the point where it was very difficult. We were reviewing each passage every day, And the kids were saying them to me separately. And it got to the point where I could sit there for an hour or two while my kids quoted review passages to me, and they'd get in line saying, I want to do it next. And I had to say, okay, you can do two, you can do two. And it really got time consuming. So we got where we say them together now, just to, so we don't avoid that. And I'll talk to the kids when we have trouble, and I'll say, now, we're having problems with this reviewing. It takes a lot of time. Should we just kind of give it up and work on our new verses? And my kids were adamant when I asked them that and said, no, we've spent too much time on these to just let them go. And what if we ever lost our Bibles? We'd have it in our hearts here. Let's keep reviewing them. And they helped me come up with some ideas of how we could review it easier. And they agreed to put the effort into it. So teach your kids God's Word and make it fun as you memorize it. Number two, sing it. The reason I have my kids do both of those is to demonstrate to you how we do that. We also sing a scripture song or two every morning before breakfast, and there's several reasons why it's important to do this. One thing, a song will stay in your mind. When your kids sing a scripture song, that will probably be with them for life, whether they review that or not, because I can still remember commercials that I heard when I was growing up that had catchy tunes, and a lot of these scripture songs have a catchy tune, and your kids will be singing these songs. And when we sing them at breakfast, it's a great way to start the day. A lot of times I don't wake up full of energy and vitality and cheer. And part of the reason why I started doing this at breakfast is to get my own attitude right. When you start singing God's Word, it changes your attitude. And it would help me start the day off with a better attitude. And it also helps your kids' attitudes. I remember one day my daughter came to me, and that morning we had sung the song, In Everything Give Thanks, for this is the will of God. And she came to me later in the day and she said, Mom, I really like singing those scripture songs at breakfast. She said, today I was just having a bad attitude. I didn't want to get rid of it, but that song kept coming to my mind, And Everything Give Thanks. And I finally just had to get rid of my bad attitude. And that's exactly what we want, is for God's Word to be there to drive away those things that should not be there. And it will help your kids' attitudes. And I just really encourage you to learn scripture songs, teach them to your kids, and get them in their minds that way. And once again, the younger ones will learn this probably easier than the passages when they're real little. My three-year-old's starting to sing a lot of the songs. In fact, she was going to do Be Kind for us this session. And she's starting to now walk around and sing a lot of them, just little segments of them. And there's nothing like working around the house and hearing one of your kids in the other room singing Resist the Devil and He Will Flee, or one of the other scripture songs that we've done, This is the Day Which the Lord Hath Made. Those will help all of the attitudes in the house as those words come to your mind. So I encourage you to learn scripture songs and sing them regularly. Number three, read the Bible. And that seems like an obvious one, of course, but sometimes we overlook that. Or perhaps you put it off thinking, well, my kids are too young, they won't enjoy it. I suggest when your kids are not able to read, to read it to them. Read the Bible together and read it to them. And then as soon as they're able to start reading, let them start reading the Bible for themselves. So my son was in first grade. He would want to read a chapter from Psalms. That's where I started him. And he'd want to do that before his reading book. He says, well, Mom, this is more important. And really, in the old days, they learned to read from the Bible. And that's why they learned to read, was so they could read the Bible. So as soon as your kids are starting to read, of course they won't be able to read all the words, but sit down and read a chapter with them and help them through the hard parts. And then as soon as your kids are able to read by themselves, have them start reading through the entire Bible. And this is something that's been really fun and that has helped to get our kids excited about the Bible, is when my daughter was only in second grade, she started reading the Bible through. And I told the girls, I think one was maybe in third, but anyway, I told them both, since they were old enough to read the Bible by themselves, they said, when you both finish the Bible, when you've read it all the way through, then we're going to have a big celebration, because reading the Bible is so important. And I wanted to make it really special to my kids so that they would realize that this is something that's important. And so what we did is we planned a really special celebration for the kids for the first time that they finished their Bible. And we took them out to one of their favorite restaurants. And what was nice is we got to use the banquet room. So we had our own little room in there. And we took Grandma with us. She was as excited as the kids were about all this. And the first thing we did was we ate our meal. And then I wouldn't let them get dessert. I said, no, you have to wait. We're going to have part of our celebration before dessert. And without the girls knowing it, I had gone to several people in our church, like the pastor and the assistant pastor, some of their Sunday school teachers and workers, people that my daughters looked up to, some of their aunts, and I had told these people, my daughter's just read the Bible all the way through for the first time. Would you send them, write them a note of encouragement? And, you know, just congratulate them for that. And the kids didn't know this, and so one at a time, I was giving them these notes from these people, and they would sit and read them and pass them around, and we'd all read them. And, you know, my kids were just so touched. They're like, I can't believe all these people took this all the time to write these notes to us. And it was such a blessing to them, and it encouraged them that people thought that was neat and would take the time to let them know that. And then we had another special thing that we gave them. We had a special plaque made for the kids. Probably a lot of you won't be able to see this, but it's got an open Bible and the lamp. God's Word is a lamp unto our feet. And we went and had a special thing engraved. Now, this one is my son's, and it says, Mike Morrissey, Faithfulness in Bible Reading, October 1992. And the first time that our kids read the Bible through, we get them one of these plaques. And they were just like, wow. You know, to kids, a plaque or a trophy is a really big thing, and they were thrilled about that. And then we also had these designed for us. It says, this award is presented to you, and we put their names in there. And it says, for reading through the entire Bible. And it has five Bibles on there, and you can put the date in each time they finish it then. So the first time, of course, the date's there. And then the next time they finish it, you add the next date, and you have a record of each time that they finished reading the Bible. And my kids were just really excited about all these things. So then we had our dessert, and then we went from there to Grandma's house, and I had gotten both of them a special gift to just celebrate this occasion. Now, since then, my girls and my son have read the Bible through several times. I think my oldest daughter has read it through maybe 5 or 6 times. I'm not sure, but every time that they read the Bible all the way through, we have another celebration. And you know, this costs money, but what's important? I mean, we spend a lot of money on birthday presents for them or just on a present because I love you. And this is something where we should be willing to spend money to teach them how important it is to read God's Word and to encourage them that this is a real accomplishment and we're going to celebrate when you finish. And now when we have the celebrations, we don't get them the plaque because that's the first time. But we go out to eat and I still get them a little gift. And then, of course, we put the new date on when they finished it. And my kids are still reading through the Bible. And this is something that I don't tell them, you go read your Bible right now. You've got to get it done in such a length of time. It's something that they want to do. And they know that this is good for them and that it's important and that it will help them. And they read the Bible every day on their own. And they love to read the Bible. They get excited. One time, the girls were both reading in Psalms, and they said, well, let's try to read the whole book. Let's get it finished. So they took turns reading to each other. The other one would follow, and the other one would read out loud 10 chapters, and her voice would get sore, you know, and so she'd go, so you read now. And they read like 40 chapters in Psalms one day. And that was exciting to me that they would do that and enjoy that. And your kids will enjoy reading the Bible sooner than you think if you have the right attitude about it and will be excited about it. Another thing that we do to teach God's Word is we teach character with it. When our kids' friends mistreat them, that's a wonderful chance to train them in Christ-likeness and say, well, you know, he treated you wrong. What should you do? What would God want you to do? What does the Bible say? And show them from the Bible how you would respond to somebody who's treated you wrong. Show them that they need to pray for them, bless them, do something good for them. And if they're having problems, maybe in the home with each other, use God's Word to teach character there. We like our kids to be a servant. And use the verses in the Bible that show how God encourages us to be servants, that servants are the greatest, and encourage them to serve each other. Teach them character through the Bible. Teach them kindness. Be ye kind. Teach them the verse that talks about that. And develop their character, not through just your words, but through God's Word. Use the Bible in teaching their character. And all through the day, you'll have opportunities to train them in character as different situations arise. When your kids begin to have a spat, teach them about being a peacemaker. Use the Bible and teach them that, or kindness, whatever. Number 5 kind of goes along with this, rebuke and correct with the Bible. And this is one area where we probably let more opportunities pass than we would ever realize for us to teach them godly principles of life. And if we would just take God's Word when our kids have done something wrong and show them what the Bible says about it, it would do so much more than when we just get after them. One time my daughter was having a problem with her tongue. She was just really talking nasty to all the family members, and I'd been getting after saying, do not talk like that, that's wrong, you're not being kind. And it kept on, and so I called her into the kitchen one day. I said, come here, honey. She says, what? I said, go get your Bible and get a notebook. And she's like, oh, what are we gonna do? And I had her sit down, and I said, honey, where do we go when we have a problem? Where are the answers found? And she said, well, to the Bible. I said, that's right. Anytime we have a problem, we can go to the Bible. I said, well, you're having a problem with your tongue, aren't you? She kind of hung her head and said, well, yes. I said, well, here's what I want you to do. And I had picked a chapter in Proverbs that had lots of verses on the tongue. I said, I want you to read through this chapter and pick three verses out that you think will help you with your tongue and copy them down in your notebook. And that might help you to remember them and then maybe even memorize one of them. Well, I left the room, and a couple minutes later, I came back to see how she was doing, and I noticed she had just come back in and was sitting down. I said, what are you doing? And she had gone into my room and gotten my book, Proverbs for Parenting, and that's the book that has each subject is listed, like all the verses for the tongue can be are under one heading that are in Proverbs, and she was going to look in there. She says, oh, well, I got this book, Mom. I said, well, that's okay, because I knew she still had to read through a list of verses, just like she would have in her Bible. I said, that's fine. A few minutes later, after doing this, she said to me, Mom, you know, I'd really like one of these books, because then anytime I have a problem, I can go to this book and see what God's answer is, and I know right where to find it. And I was so excited, because that's exactly what we're trying to teach them, is when you have a problem, go to the Bible. And if you'll correct and discipline your kids by using God's word, it's going to bring much more results than your words will ever do, because God's word has a power about it that our words don't carry. And you can nag and yell all you want, but it usually will not produce very many changes in your kids' lives. But if you'll sit them down and say, look, this is what God says, God can take that and use it in their lives and start changing their hearts and making them have a desire to change. Another time, my girls were not getting along with each other. There just seemed to be a lot of strife between them, and I called them both in, and I just told them, I shared kind of what the idea of contention is, and I went through several verses in Proverbs about contention and not getting along and what causes it. I talked about how pride a lot of times causes contention, and just how wrong that was. And I prayed with them. I had them pray and ask God to help them. And it was so sweet, because that night, my daughter came downstairs to me, and she was just about sobbing. She said, Mom, every time I think how mean I was to my sister today, I just feel so bad. And what had happened is God's word had been working in her heart. Now, I had been talking to her about that for days, and it hadn't gone anywhere. But when I took the Bible and corrected her with that, God was able to touch her heart and soften it. Number six, get excited about the Bible. When was the last time your kids heard you get excited about something you found in the Bible? Heard you say, wow, look at this verse that I found. Isn't this neat? When did you last share something with your children that God taught you from the Bible? It was neat to me, as we've done that with our kids, as we've shared things that we've found, they've started doing that. If they find a verse, they'll come and they'll say, wow, Mom, I just found this verse that we've been memorizing, or that we sing. It's right here. And one time when we were speaking at a convention, I had told the kids, we had a lot of things to do that weekend, but before we left, the day before, I told them, I said, one thing I want you to do today, each of you, I want you to go get in your room and spend some time praying, because we really need to ask God's help in this and what we're doing this weekend. We don't want to go into this without a lot of prayer behind it. And later on, I found the three of them in the bedroom praying together. And what happened is my daughter had memorized the verse, where two or three are gathered in my name, there am I in the midst of them. And she had called her brother and sister and said, hey, this verse says this, why don't we pray together? Because God promises he'll be with us. And I thought that was so neat, because she had taken what she had memorized and was applying it, and she was sharing it. She was excited about something that she had found and wanted to do that. So it's important that we get excited when God shows us things in the Bible and that we share those with our kids. Okay, some reasons why we don't teach God's word. And I can give you these excuses because I've used them. So I know that people use these excuses. Number one, there's not enough time. I don't have enough time to do all those things. Well, my husband always says, we make time to do what we want to do. And this is something that, if it's important enough to you, you can find the time, you can make the time. And Is God's word important? Is it worth finding the time to do what God says here? So don't use the excuse that you don't have enough time. Number two, it doesn't seem to do any good. Have you ever felt that you were using these things, maybe memorizing scripture with your kids? I can recall several times going through times of discouragement where my kids just were not acting the way I would like them to, and we had been very diligent in reading the Bible together and in practicing and memorizing scriptures, and I remember thinking, what good does it all do? Just look at them. Look how they're acting. You know, this doesn't do anything. Well, I mentioned this in one of my other talks. Those thoughts are right from the devil. So you need to just realize first where those thoughts are coming from. Second, God promises that his word will not return unto him void. And God's word will do what it's meant to do. His word will cleanse our way. It will keep us from sin. Psalm 119 is full of things that the Bible will do for us. And it will do those things. Now, you may not see those results immediately, but you stick with it and keep using God's word, and God will do what he promised. He's a God of his word. He doesn't lie. And so you can count on the fact that he will come through. Now, maybe it's not as soon as you'd like. Maybe he's trying to teach you patience, but just stick with it, and he will take all those efforts of teaching his word, and you'll start seeing results in your kids' lives. Another thing, number three, some parents say, well, my kids just aren't interested. When I say, come on, let's do our verses, they're like, do we have to? And they're not interested in the Bible. They don't want to read it or memorize it. A couple thoughts here. Sometimes it's like this because their minds are too cluttered with other things, like TV or sports. And when their minds are cluttered with all kinds of other things, there's not a lot of room to pour more in. You know, if it's already full of all this stuff, there's not a lot of room to pour God's word in. And so you need to watch that you're not letting their minds be cluttered with too many things. And instead, take those young years especially. You know, my five-year-old just learns these verses so quickly. Their minds are so sharp and they can memorize these things. Why not get God's word into their hearts first and then start filling it in with some of these other things? And I don't mean TV either, but before you even start working on the academics, start pouring God's word in while their minds are so open and free to learn. Another thing that sometimes keeps our kids from being interested is our own attitude. Stop and check, am I excited about the Bible? I mean, if you go to your kids and say, all right, come on, let's go read the Bible, they're going to do the same thing. They're going to say, all right, let's go. Do we have to? Instead, be excited about it. Say, come on, kids, let's get our Bibles out and let's go read and see what God has to say to us today. And be excited about it and keep sharing with them what God's doing in your life with it. Number four, some women will say, well, I'm not going to do this all through the day because my husband won't help me. Well, ladies, we're the ones that are there with them most of the day, so don't say, well, I'm not going to do it because my husband's not going to help. You're there most of the day with your kids and have many, many opportunities to use God's word. So don't use that as an excuse. And if you do have a husband that doesn't, you might as well do it anyway. There's nowhere in the Bible where it says that women can't teach God's word to their children. Now, fathers are to be the spiritual leaders, but mothers can do a lot of this during the day and still get God's word into their kids' hearts through all these opportunities like I've mentioned. Number five, we don't really believe that it's all that important. Our actions show what's important to us. What we do shows what our values are. And if we really believe that the Bible is the best book and that will change our lives and that it has all of the answers that we need, then we'll do these things. We'll make it important to our kids. We'll demonstrate that by making the time to show them the importance and doing these things with them and teaching it diligently to them. Some blessings that I've seen as we've done this in our home, it's been very, very exciting. When I started off doing these things, I never had an idea what God would do, not only in my life, but in our whole family, just through making his word have top priority. Number one is that my kids are excited about the Bible. Like I said before, I don't have to sit there with a whip and say, go read your Bible or go memorize this verse. They're excited about it. They love to read the Bible. They love to memorize it. There have been times when we were at the end of one passage and they couldn't wait. Come on, Mom, what's the new passage? We want to start memorizing it. One time we were starting a new one and I wanted them to learn it fast. I said, it was only a short, like 6 or 7 verses. I said, let's see if we can learn this in, I don't know, maybe I said a week. I said, and if all of you learn it in that time, then you'll all get a special little treat, nothing big, pack of gum or something. And what that did is it encouraged them to work together, because if one of them learned it and the other two didn't, none of them got it. So they all worked together, and they had that passage learned in like 3 days. They were excited. They were like, yeah, let's go work on it right now. So they'll get excited if you encourage them. Some people pay their kids for reading the Bible. I guess it's kind of what we do with the celebrations, but that's something where we all enjoy it. And people think, well, that's bad. You shouldn't have to pay them. But if it's important enough to you, do what you need to get your kids excited and to show you that it's important to you. You'll motivate them to do other things. People pay their kids if they get A's. They pay them for A's in school on their report card. How much more important to reward them when they're diligent in studying and memorizing God's Word? Because that's something that's going to mean a lot more for them through their whole life. So my kids, I always ask them, well, what would you like best about what you got today? My Bible. And they hold it up, and they're so proud of their Bibles. And it's just so sweet the way they've learned to get excited and love it because of these things. And when we have family devotions, my kids just want to know more. My son will sit there and say, Dad, what's that mean? Wait a minute, Dad, what's that mean? And he wants to learn and take it in. My girls will ask questions, and that's because they're excited about it. Number two, the kids are more responsive to the Holy Spirit. I found that keeping them in the Word and using the Word all through the day by singing it and quoting it and reading it and correcting with it, all these things, keeps their hearts much softer. I remember very plainly one day my daughter was having an attitude problem all day, and I was real concerned. It was bothering me, but I couldn't quite put my finger on what it was. But I knew her attitude, there was something wrong there. And she wasn't having the right attitude. And that evening when I took a shower, I was praying about it. I said, Lord, I don't quite know what's wrong, but I pray that you'll work in her heart and change her attitude. Well, after I got out of the shower, my daughter called me into her room, and she apologized. She said, Mom, I'm sorry, I was having a bad attitude today, and that was wrong. Will you forgive me? And you know, the reason that happened is because her heart was soft to the Word of God. And when God convicted her of that night when she was praying and God told her, your attitude was wrong, she was responsive to His Holy Spirit because of that. And there was a time when my kids weren't that responsive because we weren't using His Word and they weren't soft and tender like that. And as you use God's Word, you'll be amazed at how responsive they are to it. My other son, who's really stubborn and we have a lot of trouble with, for a while we were thinking, does he even care what the Bible says and what God thinks and wants? And then one day I just confronted him with that. I said, son, do you really even care that Jesus is unhappy? Do you want to please Jesus? And you know, he just broke down and sobbed and sobbed and sobbed because he did. He wanted to do what was right and he was struggling with it. And that's because of using God's Word with him. And if I had just said, you just can't do right, what's the use, you know, that wouldn't have done any good. But dealing with him with that approach, he had a soft heart, and God was able to work and convict him. Number three, what we've seen happen is that the Bible has become part of our kids' thoughts, which is exactly what we want. We want it in their thoughts. And one night at supper, it was so exciting, the word refuge came up. We were talking about a war or something, and the word refuge came up. And immediately, one of my kids piped up with one of our verses, the Lord God also will be a refuge for the oppressed. And then one of my other kids added the next verse, and one of my other kids added the next verse. So one word triggered a whole passage almost. And it was so exciting. I looked at my husband, I'm like, yay, it's paying off all these days of memorizing these verses. It's there. It's coming to their mind. And that's what we want. We want them to see a situation and have a scripture come to their mind. We want a problem to come and a scripture answer will come. That's our whole goal, to get it in there where it's in their thoughts. And that's what's going to cleanse them and keep them pure. As a man thinketh in his heart, so is he. If they're thinking God's words, then they're going to be living a life that's pure before God. Number four, doing these things together as a family draws the family together closer and draws you close together. I phrase that wrong. But it just forms a bond. As you get excited and share from the Bible what God's doing, it forms a bond, and I think it's probably just a form of fellowship that goes beyond just family love and togetherness into a spiritual bond where you can fellowship with each other and where the Lord can just talk or work through each of you and you can share that and what He's doing in your life. And the fifth thing The fifth blessing is that I have gotten excited and I get to learn the Bible too. My goal in doing these was just to be obedient to God and to teach my kids God's word and the importance of it. But, you know, I got the benefit also. As I do these things, my mind is also being filled all through the day with God's word. I'm singing it. I'm quoting it with them. We're reading it together. And so God's thoughts are in my mind all day as well. And when I discipline the kids with it, I have to draw on God's word. So all through the day, and you know, for a while it wasn't like that in my life. I remember going through some frustration because we would have Bible time in the morning, or I'd even have my devotions before I got up with the kids. And I would pray and ask God's help. And the next thing I would know, it was bedtime and I'm falling into bed exhausted. And I'm thinking, never even thought about God the rest of the day, you know. And you can get so busy with your duties of teaching your kids and just meeting their daily needs that you forget about God. And this was such a blessing to me because in doing these things, it became part of my life all through the day. And, you know, God knew that parents needed this too. And when he gave that command to parents, I'm really not sure if he meant who he meant to benefit from that the most, whether it's the children or the parents, because as you do these things, you'll find that he will just really bless you because of it, and the results that you'll see will bring a joy that you can't imagine. It's something that's very hard for me to even express until you've done it. It's a feeling of fulfillment and excitement and blessing that God can bring just as a result of being obedient to him and teaching these principles to your kids. We take time and we make sure that our kids learn to be skilled. We make sure that, oh, maybe they learn musical instruments or certain sports or whatever. You know, each family has different things that they think are important. And we make sure that our kids learn to read and write and learn their math. But you know, how much more important it is for us to give God's word priority in our homes and to make his word first. It's much more important. The Bible says the faith comes first. Add your faith virtue and to virtue knowledge. And it's important that we decide that each day we're going to make God's word first. I went through a time when I was pregnant and I was not able to do much school as far as academics with my kids. And I told the Lord, I said, well, if nothing else, each day we're going to do our verses and read your word. And God blessed us for that. We saw changes in our kids' lives. And you know, even without doing much academics, my kids learned that year more than, I don't know how they did it, but I think it's God takes your obedience and blesses the little bit that you can do, just like the loaves and the fish. He multiplies it as you're obedient to him. So I would just encourage you to make your first priority each day in your school God's word. Start off with it, and then all through the day utilize God's word in the different ways that I've suggested. And as you do that, you're going to find that he'll really bless you and your family. Okay, let's close in a word of prayer. Father, I just thank you for your word and for what it will do to us, how it can cleanse us and keep us pure, and how we can learn just to live and deal with problems each day. And I pray that we'll never forget the value of the Bible and what it can do, and that we'll just realize and make the time and the effort to teach it in our homes the way you planned for us to. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.